is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Welcome back, everybody. We are having a hot summer, hot in more ways than one. We are doing some great things with our kids this summer. I am going to talk about etiquette with you. Now, etiquette is social skills. I have said character is not simply social skills. The reason I say that is because I hear a lot of parents say, oh, my kid needs social skills, and or say to their child, okay, now remember your social skills. It's much more than that. You don't want an evil, self-centered, intelligent, socially adept kid. No, you want a good kid. You don't want a kid who is simply very good at being evil. No. You want a good kid who's going to have a good life, right? Who will be a good adult and a productive and useful adult who also can deal adeptly in a social environment. Yes? Okay. So we're going to talk about etiquette today. And first off, let me tell you that the basic underlying principle of etiquette is thinking about others. Do you know, I said something about I should put together an etiquette course back in 1990 when I was a Presbyterian minister in Detroit, and my peers blanched. They were just shocked and horrified. How could I do such a thing? Let's talk about an etiquette course, because in their mind, I was going to help kids be more snobby, and I was going to try to teach them how to deal with the pickle fork or something, which is not a bad idea, really, if you're going to be in a situation where you're presented with one, but that wasn't the point. The point was to be polite and say good morning and, you know, to present yourself well in a business environment, which I could see was not happening. So they had some highfalutin idea in their mind about politics from our generation. But over time, you can see that there are more and more students who need this help. Frankly, they need this help. It's about being competent in the world, being able to get a good job, put your point across, get the favor you want. Yes? Okay. But the basis of it is thinking about others. Now, some of it's arbitrary. In one culture, you do it this way. In another culture, you do it that way. You'd be surprised. A lot of times it has some reason. You know, you present your card with one hand, and there was a historical reason you didn't present it with the other hand. But today, it's somewhat arbitrary. But nevertheless, if everyone knows what the rules are, then, and you don't want to unnecessarily offend someone else. We really don't. Unfortunately, we sometimes do, but this will reduce the possibilities. Yes? Okay. The basis is thinking about one another. So why do we chew with our mouth closed? Haven't you been told that a million times? Why? Well, it's because it's not thoughtful to let someone else see the ugliness of your masticated food. Besides, your food might fall out. Okay. So that's the basis. And so it's a useful thing. It's not about being snobby. It's about being competent in the social world. Okay, so the first thing I want to talk about is greetings. The first thing I would teach my child is how to greet other people. I did not do this, frankly did not, because I had some strange ideas that would be too hard, or I don't know what strange idea I had. I chose not to teach. But no, I think your preschooler should be taught to say good morning, and that should become second nature. And I noticed that when I was the director of an affluent preschool, my children weren't saying good morning when they came into school. And then I realized neither were their mothers. And so my faculty and I all agreed that we're going to directly teach saying good morning, saying goodbye, saying yes, and thank you, and please. And we had not a single dissenter among our faculty. So we had, well, we're talking about the two, three, fours. We're going to teach them how to say good morning. And it's simply a nice thing to do. Now, there are some delicate questions about who says good morning first and under what circumstances. And I have noted that the regular rule book and the military rule book and the African American rule book contradict one another. So let's just say you should kindly and politely and gently greet one another. This is the rule. Okay. So sound happy. Do speak. And this is your entrance greeting. Okay. So you're not sneaking up on somebody. You're not being sullen and angry with them. You just, as a rule, and you also don't have to yell at them. This is a problem for many veterans who are taught that they are to greet, and they are somewhat deaf and they greet too loudly. And then in the workplace, which is completely different from the military, and we have all these women who feel that they are shouted and shouted at and intimidated simply by a greeting. And I think the veterans don't understand that that's how they come across. They may not even realize how deaf they are, but anyway, so do speak. Judge if you're, you know, judge by the reaction that you get if you're too loud. But most of the children don't have that problem. Children usually are too soft and they're shy. But if they get used to doing this, then it helps. There's nothing wrong with teaching them how to shake hands. There is more to say about this in cross-ethnic situations. I think I will not try to attempt to unpack that here, but ask for my etiquette course. Also, it's very helpful to know exit greetings. And I read about exit greetings in a book, and then I used it, and you know, it had a wonderful effect. So exit greeting is, well, it was really nice to see you. Bye now. Or, I have to go now. Or so if it's a party where you're mingling, you say, well, I think it's time for me to mingle. Or I guess I won't monopolize your time, but it's been so nice talking with you. Bye bye. So these are exit greetings. So if you get up from sitting with somebody, perhaps at church, say goodbye to them. I eat at a place where we eat on long tables and conversation is encouraged. And that's where I first used it. Oh, the person just was so thankful. I just didn't get up and leave. I said, oh, it's great to talk with you. Hope you have a great day. Bye now. Oh, they just thought that was great. Exit greetings. Something we haven't thought about very much. But, you know, on our block, when we were growing up, parents would say, you know, no, I don't know the couple in that house, but they do speak. So what they meant was, they say hello. They wave when you drive past. So they must be a decently friendly couple, even though we don't know them. We have a positive opinion about them because they do the greeting routine. I just was in office and two candidates for a job came by the receptionist. One said, are you okay? How are you doing? And the other one didn't speak. What do you think her opinion was of those two candidates? Well, in fact, the younger one who didn't speak may have done so because she was shy or for any other reason. But she was viewed as less friendly and viewed as less competent than the woman who was a little more outgoing and not only said hello, but inquired as to the state of the receptionist. So speak greetings. Now, of course, there's more to say on this also, but the point is, do say hello. Okay. And in those, I will say that there are some hidden class rules. For instance, you say, yes, ma'am, and no, sir, not miss. Unless, now, if you're 50 and you have a teenager waiting on you at the restaurant, you say miss. But you'll find that, anyway, I find here in Texas that often younger students who come from a poor background will call their teacher miss when she's older, and this is not appropriate, but they don't know. It's just a hidden class rule of etiquette, but it makes them sound poor. And so if you are concerned about these things, if you want to know middle class etiquette, get a book like Emily Post's Blue Book of Etiquette or Miss Manners and read up on it. If you need higher level, then there are some higher level ambassadorial books and so forth. So watch what other people do. No one means to keep them hidden, but certain families pass down these sorts of expectations and how you greet one another is one of those.
It's cultural capital that they pass down to their children. But now you can have it too.
Okay. So several things not to do. Now this maybe should be at the end, but here we go. Not to do. Don't gross people out. So don't smell, don't open your mouth, etc. Don't be insulting. Don't be overly proud. People really are trying to do these things to be outgoing, to be impressive, and it backfires. And everything else will be down the drain. So don't do those things. Learn how to speak to authorities. So this is the top way to sabotage yourself on the job, is to speak to your boss in a less than deferential manner. Less than deferential. Deference seems to be a bad word in our society, but it simply is the social custom to show that you acknowledge a person's rank. So in the military, that's very clear. You salute and everybody wears rank insignia. But on the job, your boss is a higher rank than you, and you are to listen to your boss. And so if you want to make your boss feel comfortable and happy with you, then you just acknowledge. You acknowledge. So there are certain ways, like, for instance, say you, so we're talking about teenagers, right? So say you are working at the local drive-in restaurant that sells burgers and soda pop, and the back room is a mess. So are you going to come to your boss and say, "Bossy foo, the room is a back mess. Aren't you going to tell somebody to clean it up?" Or would you say, "Miss so-and-so, I noticed that the back room is a mess. Would you like me to clean it up, or did you have something else for me to do right now?" You see? So this suggests, it does alert the boss to the problem, but it suggests a solution that you're willing to take, and it also acknowledges their ability to deploy you. Which one of those employees is going to get the promotion? Right? Obvious. So when it's your boss, it's very obvious that deference displays are useful, but in other organizations and times, these principles still exist and will be operative, whether or not it's obvious to the young people, who will instead generate an hypothesis of resentment, which will further make them in trouble. So once again, more about that in the etiquette course. Now, there is a limit to obsequiousness. That's not what we're talking about. Usually, youth today do not adequately recognize rank and fail to do the deference display that's necessary. Okay? The phone. Oh my goodness. We need some phone etiquette here. In fact, Simon Sinek went viral, and not everything that he says I necessarily like, but I think we all agree that we need some phone etiquette. In fact, I think that these glowing screens are addictive. When a child is born, they have a natural instinct to look for the shiny things, the mother's eyes, and bond to the mother. And that's why in a casino, you'll find it all dark and the machines are lit up, because they want you stuck to those machines. It's your baby instinct coming, and I think that's what's happening to our screens, our radiant light sources. We are stuck to our phones. Also, I find that phones are very difficult to manage, and so we're spending a lot of time looking at that screen, trying to get it to do something. And in the meantime, the whole social, the real world is just passing our by. The phone is a communicator, but if you've got people there, you've got much richer communication. And I see people walking across busy streets looking at their phone. I see people driving looking at their phone. I see people interrupting meetings looking at their phone. I was in a hiring interview. Okay, I was the boss. Somebody was applying to work for me, and she interrupted her interview by taking a phone call. Guess what? Do you think she got the job? Huh. All right. So What shall we do with our phone? Put it down and look around you. Put it down, face down, by the way, and look around you, or in a pocket or in your purse. You know that your phone can be turned on and the camera used. So at high-tech conventions, the favorite giveaway is a little cover for the screen, particularly the person-facing screen, owner-facing screen. When you are in a social engagement or a business engagement, one-on-one or in a committee meeting, turn off your phone. If you're in a business meeting and you might need to take a business call, then you could turn on vibrate and then excuse yourself and leave to take the phone call. Do not take the phone call and interrupt somebody else's meeting. Do not inflict your conversation on other people in the restaurant or the grocery store, if at all possible. Now, sometimes you need to talk about, okay, honey, do you need me to bring which soap home? I understand that. Okay, but try to engage in the world. Also notice that there are reasons why people text as opposed to phone and phone as opposed to talk face to face. And I did a study with some high school students and they discovered that people use text to lie because there's less information that goes. So they had figured out how to lie about their whereabouts using phone technology only. But text added another level of covertness. And then, of course, they were interested about phone and dating behavior. And it's probably no surprise to you that they discovered the best way to ask a girl on a date and get a yes response was to ask her in person. And that they discovered their colleagues were, high school students, you understand, were breaking up by text. They decided that was inappropriate. Anyway, and of course, this is not a scientific study, but they also were shocked to discover that older people used technology more than they did. Yes, their parents used screens, computers in particular, more than they did. They were shocked to discover this, but in fact, it's not counterintuitive because their parents were sitting at a desk working using a computer all day long, and these students were students, and if they worked, they were working where they stood up and not at a desk, right? They were just shocked. Anyway, phone etiquette. I would like to tell you the story of a young man, not all that young, not a high school student by any means, who was applying for a position on the pastoral staff. He also was a worship leader. He was having a conflict with one of the ladies on the worship team, and she was more my age, my friend, and I thought, well, I'll have them both to dinner. We'll see if we can work this out. He was texting underneath the table while I had turkey dinner on the table. Do you think he got the job? I don't know if he didn't get the job because of his behavior at dinner, but last time I saw him, he was on his phone in the middle of service. In fact, he interrupted, well, I don't know. I think the evangelist was happy to hear what the ball scores were. And then after service, I stopped by to say hello to him, but he just couldn't see me because he was too busy on his phone. Do you understand? Okay. Get your head out of the phone. Okay. Netiquette. Well, there's a lot of things that we need to talk about in terms of netiquette, and it's more important than simply not typing in all caps these days. It is important that you manage what goes out on social media because it does stay there forever. And people can use it and probably will to get back at you. My high-tech friends don't use it. Yeah, my high-tech friends don't use it. They don't put their political opinions in any electronic format. I mean, it's not like they're weird or anything. I mean, they're either Republican or Democrat, but they don't even put that in email, and they don't use Facebook, etc. So word to the wise, but certainly you need to teach your children how to avoid depredation and how to realize this is a public persona that matters forever in the job world, etc. Perhaps it shouldn't. It is. Okay. There needs to be some way to politely set boundaries, to say, no, thank you. Fine. That's far enough. No, I don't think so. Thank you. Because other people don't know what proper boundaries are and aren't polite. And so there needs to be a way to enforce personal boundaries. When they're very young, they need to know. And I really like the way of languaging this. A neighbor of mine told her young girls, your private areas are called private areas because they're private and they're not for everyone. So I like that. And yeah, and it goes on from there. We have to be, unfortunately, very careful, and we have to teach our daughters and now even our sons ways to keep themselves safe. My parents did it by not ever permitting me to be in a dangerous situation. But today even school is dangerous. Kindergarten is dangerous. Kids have been sexually depredating on their kindergarten classmates. Oh my goodness. So, well, I can hear in my head some educator just coming unglued because I said that. But look, I have reports of that, not only in the media, so it can happen. So we have to be prepared. Just saying. We need to stay in communication with our kids and teach our kids how to say no. And occasionally, maybe, even hell no. It used to be that women often were attacked because they wouldn't fight back. Well, I think that's history. Our children may need to know that there are times when sounding the alarm and responding physically is appropriate, but most of the time we set boundaries with our words. Of course, there are business etiquette. It seems to me, and this is true for college and school, that students understand that presentation of self is a strategy for success in the world. And it is. How you present yourself determines how people think of you. Do they think of you as competent, as clean, as nice, or as dirty, scary, and stupid? These are real possibilities depending on how you present yourself. And visually, and in terms of sound, and in terms of the words you use. We should never use blue language in a business context or strangers, and perhaps ever. And I've had students truly not know what words were inappropriate. And so if I were making a rule for my class, I might say, those words which we are not permitted to say on television or radio, we're not permitted to say in my classroom. You'll find that your language is much stronger if you don't have to resort to an unconscious use of curse words. Stick to the expectation of the social group in which you are in terms of dress, in terms of language, and so forth. Be punctual. Being punctual is the first step to having a good interview. If you cannot be on time, what else will you not do? You have been rude to the other person. You have told them that their time is not valuable. Don't keep them waiting. It's a sign of immaturity, a sign of disrespect, possibly a sign of lack of integrity that you don't do what you say. When you're on the job, don't stick up for yourself. Just serve the customer as a representative of the company. It's not about you. It's not personal. So just forget that part. Use customary format for letters, emails, and keep your own records. Okay, so this is my list of etiquette. But if you have the good character to realize that you are not the king of the universe, the queen of the universe, but you are there to serve the other person, to consider the other person better than yourself, and to be useful, and to be pleasant when possible. You will have accomplished most of the etiquette that you need to accomplish. Yes, different cultures have different etiquette, and almost all of them really appreciate if you make any attempt at all to learn their method. Just consider the other person. It will increase the opportunity, the likelihood that you will be successful. And it is an outgrowth of character. Okay? Etiquette. I don't know what you think is important. Give me a clue. Come to www.greatshalom.org. Type in what you think is important to teach children about etiquette. I would love to hear from you. And please do write me if you want a lesson plan for children, or if you hope for something more, maybe audio course, then write me. Well, let's call it a pre-publication want list. If you would like a course for your children in etiquette, let me know at info@greatshalom.org. Info, I-N-F-O, at great, like a big G-R-E-A-T. Shalom is S-H-A-L-O-M. greatshalom.org. Would love to hear from you. Thank you so much. And this is Sharon Sarles proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.